It is Way of the Warrior episode 272, as luckily we have nothing to talk about, and this podcast is brought to you by the Age of Ultron Avengers 2. Let's get going, because it's going to be a whole lot of us trying to figure out what's next for Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, the whole show. All Mighty Mouse, all show.
It's next.
It won't get interesting until the last minute.
It's next on Way of the Warrior.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren along with Ken Evans. Julian Garcia is stepping in for Jobi-Wan Kenobi for two reasons. One, because Jobi-Wan Kenobi is in Lansing today. And two, because Joe has been on the show for, I think, 3 years. And Ken and I have no idea what he does for a living.
Yeah, we're not sure. We joke that he hides from the government. I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing.
He is hiding from the government.
What's he doing in Lansing? That's the hub of government in Michigan.
What's he doing all the way out there? He's not taking photos of himself because he's too close to the government. So he won't be doing that. We obviously have a lot of stuff to talk about today, not the least of which is this John Jones situation. We will also talk about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. We will recap a little bit about UFC 186 and exciting news. I wouldn't put this at the top of the fight or at the top of the show, I would say, except for the fact that Ken is super excited about this because he'll finally be able to talk about this. Before we talk John Jones, I want to let you know that on July 12th, the Karate Hottie is going to fight in the UFC.
Yeah, I saw a picture. Somebody posted it on our page. And I still don't recognize her, but good name.
But now you can use the name, so you're excited about that. Okay,
right,
so
I'll go dig it up.
On Sunday, around noon, Albuquerque time, John Jones decided it was 4:20 somewhere, so he decided to tie one on, get in a three-car accident where he left a pregnant woman with a broken arm. Attempted to flee the scene, remembered that there was a bag of cash, like he is the guy from Monopoly, run back to get the bag of cash, but then forgot that it was a rental car, and he left all the paperwork about the rental car in said rental car.
Well, let's not forget, he's 6'4", and John Jones, and he was running away from a car.
He is also 6'6", and John Jones. So all of that stuff happens, and we are left for quite a long time, Ken, trying to figure out what is going to happen. We're all sitting here. Nobody hears from John Jones. Nobody hears from Dana White. Nobody hears from the UFC until late Monday night when they go, hey, we're aware of this.
You think it took a long time, or it just felt like a long time?
It just felt like...
I don't think it took a long time.
Well, I think once things started rolling, it didn't. But for me, and I don't know about you, Julian, it just felt like we were in limbo. And maybe that's just because we're so close to what's happening in MMA that it felt like, why are we here? You know, Julian's texting me like, when are they going to throw him out of the organization? What's going to happen? I'm like, dude, we don't even know what happened yet.
So you're the one that was advocating that.
He's the only one.
Yeah, so I mean... Once I heard that he got in this accident, I'm like, if this is true, then they obviously need to suspend him. So I wasn't making any assumptions that it was all true information, but I wanted to make sure if this is true, if he really did do this and he fled, then he needs to be suspended or booted.
And so things start to unravel on a Tuesday. And just for some context, all of this kind of goes back to 2011, where John Jones is caught driving on a suspended license. 7 months later, he's caught in a DUI arrest that the MMA world gets to make a lot of fun of. And then 2014, that's when in December he gets caught for that out-of-competition drug test that turned out to be cocaine. It is brought to light in January of this year, where he's spends a single day in rehab. Clearly needed more than that. But
yeah, he had 24 hours. Shut up.
He had 24 hours. Didn't work. Then so April, hit and run, and now he's got a felony charge. And so the UFC steps in and suspends him indefinitely. Does not fire him. Suspends him indefinitely. And then removes him of the championship belt.
You forgot he was in a strip club parking lot that one time when he was driving.
He was in
He was drifting in a strip club parking lot, which I just love that. That's just a little spicy, little seasoning in there in that story back in 2011.
So technically, that's a bit of nuance I didn't add there.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So all of that stuff happens. He gets stripped of the title, which brings up a lot of interesting points, not the least of which is what's going to happen at UFC 187. Well, if in the din of all of this stuff you have missed it, it is now DC. It's Daniel Cormier and Anthony Rumble Johnson, which one of the reasons I'm excited that Julian's back here is because when we did a podcast in December of 2014, Julian said by the end of 2015 that Anthony Rumble Johnson will be the title holder at 205, and it clearly looks like at UFC 187 that will come
true.
So
what we know is Julian spiked John Jones' drink because he wanted a podcast prediction to come true.
I was in the passenger seat of the car, and I grabbed the wheel, and then I was the one actually running from the car that they saw.
Yes.
Instead of Jesus, take the wheel. It was Julian.
It was Julian. Take the wheel.
Like
so, do you think this is strong enough? It's unprecedented, so there is that, but do you think this is strong enough?
Strong enough from the UFC's point of view, strong enough in that we'll believe whoever wins this fight is the actual champion? Yes, strong enough from the UFC. No, we won't believe whoever wins this fight is the actual champion. It's not unprecedented, though. This happened to Mike Tyson. I'm not going to equate charges.
In this scenario.
Right. But it's not unprecedented. I'm not going to equate the rape charges to what happened with John Jones, but I will equate the fact that he's clearly facing a felony here.
Yes.
He's clearly in some legal trouble, and we don't know when it's going to end. Mike Tyson, baddest man on the planet, but he lost to Buster Douglas before he ended up going through a lot of the stuff he did and going to prison. John Jones hasn't lost to anybody, so it's going to be very tough for anybody to accept anybody that John Jones isn't beaten by as a light heavyweight champion.
Well, and Gustafson said on Thursday that it said exactly what you said. Like, it's a shame I don't get to fight him again. I'm not really, you know, whoever wins versus DC and Rumble, yeah, I mean, I'll obviously take the fight. You know, I'm not disparaging either one of them as athletes, but to your point, Ken, I don't feel like anyone of the three of us is actually champion.
Well, and you know what? It wasn't just Gustafson who you would think would have a reason to say that because he's not involved in the actual title fight. Both Anthony Rumble Johnson and Daniel Cormier have actually been very deferential in that regard. They know that they're fighting for the title, but they've both basically agreed, hey, when John Jones comes back, and it is a when, it's not an if, when.
Dana White said it. You can see it on the board. He said, we, the UFC, will decide when he comes back after he figures this out.
And both of the fighters that are coming up in this fight for this title, coming up on May 23rd, they both said when he comes back, he'll get his shot. And, you know, I think that's fair. What's very strange about this is there's not a lot of businesses that have a precedent for when somebody runs into a pregnant lady in a car accident and then flees the scene. But they did this with Rampage in 2008. I imagine somebody somewhere was just flittering through the files like, what do we got to do here?
Where's the Rampage case study?
Right, what exactly. Now, to be fair to John Jones, he wasn't driving a giant truck around with his face on the side.
With his face on
and
the side.
Toyo tires as tall as you and I. So John, I guess, was smarter in that regard. There's his silver lining.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I think about all of this in so much as Reebok has fired him, as they obviously should.
Mm-hmm.
Been suspended indefinitely, stripped of the title. Like you said, it's not an if, it's a when. But as I look at what has happened in his life since 2011 and however soon before that he just didn't actually get caught for, right, because it didn't just pop up in 2011, I wonder what is the actual outcome of all of this stuff? You know, since Rampage's incident, you really haven't seen any crazy Rampage things happen in so much as, like, there's contract stuff, but that was always Rampage being Rampage. You know,
right.
I'm jumping to this organization, I'm doing that organization, I hate this organization. That's always Rampage. This is obviously much, much different. And I wonder, there's a lot of discussion, as you alluded to, of when will he come back, how long will the legal process take, all of that sort of stuff, which to me doesn't really answer the question, like, how do we get him to be better? Like, how do we get him to not make these decisions?
Here's the interesting thing, and everybody's wishing him well, and nobody's going to wish him ill, but he's never been the biggest fan favorite in the world, and that's the thing he's ached for. We've talked about that on the show. It's interesting in this regard. We see it, and we go, he's kind of an F-up. We kind of knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. Oh, darn, you blew up a card we wanted to see. At least there's another title fight. That's almost the feeling I'm getting from, you know, if you go to Twitter and you go to Facebook, yeah, there's obviously UFC wants to help out the guy. Obviously, the fans want to see him back there at some point. But it's a very interesting dynamic here. We don't know legally what's going to happen. I mean, he's facing up to 3 years, depending on what's going on there. I don't know how much celebrity justice rub he's going to get here. You've got them all written on the board. The board's full of things he's done in the past. So the guy's got priors, and he doesn't just have bad driving priors. He doesn't just have the strip club drifting. He's got a DUI in there. He had a bad stint at rehab, clearly.
Sure.
So these are all going to factor in. John Jones is guilty of being dumb. Like Daniel Cormier said, he's got everything in the world handed to him at this point. He can't get out of his own way. I don't care if he does coke. I don't care if he gets drunk. I don't care what he does, essentially. Shouldn't have been in the car. He's dumb for doing that. It's an Uber. It's an app, for Christ's sake. Just get a car.
And it's noon on a Sunday, right? It's not like, and I'm not making an excuses for when this would be okay, but, you know, it's the afternoon of Sunday. It's not 4 in the morning when, let's say, maybe Uber isn't as responsive as they might be.
You're John Jones. You literally have a bag of cash if you need to grab a taxi.
Yes.
You mentioned the bag of cash.
A literal bag of cash.
Right. What does he do? I mean, that makes me wonder. Is he in something deeper? I don't know. Because how sketchy is that? You got a bag of cash.
Well, it's every Kanye West song, right? Like, you've got a bag of cash, and you know, there's drugs in the car, and it's a rental car from Avid, right? Like, that's a Kanye West song is all that is.
And I don't get it. You know, we've had a lot of celebrities do this, and especially in the NFL and Major League Baseball. I mean, athletes at all levels do this. They've got the money to do it. In the NFL, here's an interesting thing I found out.
I love this story.
In the NFL,
way.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's league-wide or if it's just some teams. I think it's
league-wide, what you're going to tell them.
They literally give people, you might have heard of this, Julian, they give them a card for a car to call anytime they need it. Anytime in the NFL. And these guys still get busted. So I don't know why we're expecting anything else different from MMA fighters, but I'm sure he could have called Dana White. Dana would have arranged a taxi. That's the dumbest thing here. And that's
you're in Albuquerque. Why don't you call Greg Jackson? Bet he's up at noon on a Sunday.
Yeah. It is noon on a Sunday. Maybe the accident was earlier, and then he just woke up and then started running. I'm not sure.
It was hours and hours and hours later.
This is kind of weird. I'd have to look it back up. I want to say Rampage's accident was in New Mexico, too, wasn't it?
Oh, was it really?
Was he training with Greg at the time?
I don't actually remember where that was.
Well,
maybe it's just a really dangerous place that you shouldn't be going to, I guess.
I'm not sure. I'll look it up.
So, you know, like I said, that makes UFC 187, Daniel Cormier versus Rumble Johnson. The person, two people I think that are kind of out, and I don't think should be matched up quite yet, but out of a dance partner, obviously Gustafson's kind of waiting to see what happens. And Ryan Bader, who was supposed to fight Daniel Cormier, doesn't have a dance partner. Now, people have talked about Gustafson and Ryan Bader, but Ryan Bader on a 4-fight win streak, Gustafson coming off that KO loss. I don't know that that's a great matchup for those guys, but Bader is clearly somebody who they need to kind of adjust some stuff, because that was a main event slot. He was the main event of that fight night card. So we'll wait and see who. They haven't at this point gotten anybody on that card yet, but he's kind of one of the guys that has clearly lost in this whole.
What about Phil Davis now? Oh, wait.
Wait, he's not there.
Oh, he went to Bellator.
He did go to Bellator.
Oops. Bad timing.
Good call there.
Bad timing.
Obviously, we will keep you up to date on all of the stuff happening in the John Jones.
Rampage's accident in California.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Luke. All of the John Jones stuff that's going on. And we move on to. And I want to make this.
Wait, we're moving on?
You want to keep talking about this?
I don't know. It just seems like we should devote more time to
it. I don't know what else you want to say about it. Like, I mean, you know, I wish the guy well. I don't know. I mean, Julian said before we started, he's been removed from the rankings, which makes Ronda Rousey top 5, son.
Yeah.
And then it puts Jose Aldo at number 1, which has long been the giant complaint. Why isn't Jose Aldo at number 1? It puts
Mighty Mouse number 2.
Oh,
God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Mighty Mouse number 2, and then he'll put Weidman at number 3. So, you know, there's that. And I just don't know what else there is to say at this point, because at this point, there's nothing else to do. He's coming back. We don't know when. Mm-hmm. Unless you two disagree, which I'm not really sure if I agree or disagree, if he should come back, but he's going to come back.
Well, it'll be interesting. I guess the timeline's going to play out, because we're looking at 1 to 3 years, really, at this point. And that timing's going to be very interesting, because, I mean, I think if we look at this 3 years down the road,
Is Daniel Cormier fighting in 3 years?
No. Okay. I mean, 3 years down the road, neither of these guys are there. And they've both been deferential and said, when you come back, we'll give you your shot. Mm-hmm. It might not be either of these guys if it's that long. If it's next year, if he's able to legally get through it, it'll definitely be interesting. I mean, he's lucky that the injury on this passenger, this woman, was only a broken arm.
Yes.
Which is terrible still. You get in an accident and leave the scene. You can't do that. But he's lucky it wasn't more serious, because he could be in a lot more trouble at this point. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this legal process plays out. If he's able to get back. I can't see him just walking away on probation, though. Not with those priors you have written up on the board.
I mean, you look at this.
He's got to go to jail, right?
Yes, he has. I mean, it's a felony charge. And I thought it was interesting. His lawyer said that prior, you know, this was on Monday afternoon when he got out on bond, that his lawyer said he was looking forward to getting this all behind him so he could get back and start training, which, I mean, I don't. It was the lawyer. Delusional? Like, did he not had it? I mean, you got to assume 24 hours later, there's been some initial conversations with your employer at that point.
This reminded me a little bit of the Tiger Woods thing. Obviously, Tiger Woods didn't hurt anybody. But remember, he went off the reservation, hit that tree next to his house.
Yep.
Cops literally came to his house. He didn't talk to him. He doesn't legally have to. Sure. But it was that smoky for that much time. Mm-hmm. And that's what this reminded me of a little bit, except literally John Jones was sprinting away from the scene.
Right.
Coming back like he's doing, like, suicide. Because
yes.
He's got to get his bag of cash.
I forgot the bag of cash.
Oh, forgot the paperwork. Got to go back. So it's interesting just how smoky this all is. And because we're not sure what exactly happened. What we know, but we're not sure. If that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, because there's a pipe in the car. The pipe was used. The pipe had marijuana in it. You know, you can make some supposition that it's John Jones, but you'll have a very difficult time proving that in court because you don't necessarily know if he was by himself. I haven't heard one way or the other if he was or was not. But
is that what he was right. spending the day doing, trying to find somebody to help him out? Like, hey, man, you were driving this car, right?
Right. He's running, doing wind sprints door to door to find somebody else to drive the car for him.
Trying to hand him that bag of cash. Here you go. Here's a bag of cash.
Your name is John Jones. And that, you know, of all of the funny things, the guy whose Twitter handle is John Jones might be the funniest guy on Twitter right now.
Guy, every time John Jones
every
does something,
time.
John Jones gets hit up on Twitter.
Because John Jones, the MMA fighter, is Johnny Jones.
Right. Jones, isn't he?
Bones Jones, yes. And this guy is John Jones, who has spent the week just complaining about how many retweets and how his phone's blowing up and how he, you
if
know.
If I were him, I'd enjoy it every time. Like, as soon as I heard about the accident and go, I'd do it again.
On tweets. Sunday, you know, on Sunday, he starts answering questions, which I thought was funny.
Like, did he do that? See, that's exactly what I would do, too.
Like, starts answering questions about, you know, what happened and all that sort of thing. But that if you have not had a chance to get on Twitter and check out the actual John Jones, not the MMA fighter, the guy who has the Twitter handle,
right.
Enjoy, because it's very funny stuff.
Do we want to talk about Chael Sonnen's response?
Well, so some context to that, you're going to say, see, I told you. Is that the one?
Nope, told you.
Yeah,
he was very succinct.
Yeah, so he was on an AMA. AMA, right? That was when where that happened?
I don't know if he was on an AMA. You're talking about what he's saying, told ya.
Yes. He was on an AMA, I believe, and somebody asked him who's going to win the fight between John Jones and Anthony Rumble Johnson. He said, that fight will never happen, trust me.
And then
comes back on Sunday and says, told ya.
Told ya. Don't ever change, American gangster.
Well, what's interesting is 6 degrees of separation is Front Row Brian is one of the guys that breaks the story. He gets a detail wrong. It's coke. It's marijuana, not cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
But Front Row Brian and Chael Sonnen are obviously very close. So I'm always interested in the back deal part of this, in that who are they talking to and what did they know? Specifically Chael Sonnen. What did he just know that it was a ticking time bomb and there's no way he was going to make it to May?
Mm-hmm.
Or did he know something was coming?
I think he knew. I think he knew something was coming more in a ticking time bomb type of way. I mean, obviously, I don't think he knew that he John Jones would rent a car in Albuquerque. And then where'd he get the pipe? He's in a rental car. Did he bring it with him? You got to be careful on a plane.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe he was all coked up, didn't know.
Well, even Eric and I were talking about going to the fight. And Eric says, before we spend thousands of dollars on flight and tickets, let's just see. Let's just wait and see what happens. And I'm like, okay, fine. We'll wait and see, because this is the one fight I really wanted to
see. Yeah, we tried to book this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We did try to book this, but then I got in this Monday morning at 8 a.m., and I walked to him, and what do I say? Thank God I didn't listen to you.
Yeah, thank God I didn't listen to you. And I said, well, I'm glad I listened to you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we can, you know, rampant drug use aside, I don't know if we can trust any of these cards anymore to spend that much. You know, that's why they got to keep these going to cities that will sell out regardless of the fight.
Sure.
Of which we can talk a little bit about in the next segment. Obviously, the Bell Center is not one of those places.
Canada is not a place that you go.
I don't think, I'm with you, Canada, on this one, by the way. So you've got to do big fights in Vegas where apparently they double stack the card for good reason, or you've got to be somewhere that's just going to sell out because UFC, quote unquote, is in town.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Mayweather-Pacquiao because I want to ask a really interesting question about what is going on this weekend in regards to Jon Jones and comparing Jon Jones to the fight that's happening this weekend. We'll do it next. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans and Julian Garcia filling in for Joby Wan Kenobi. We've talked about the Jon Jones legal scruffings that have happened all week long. And we move on to the other big story of the week, which is Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao are set to meet on Saturday night at the MGM Grand.
They really need to do some publicity on this thing.
If only I knew this fight was coming.
They should put this on TV or something.
Before we start talking about this fight, I want to ask an interesting question that I asked on Twitter earlier in the week, and that is, you know, you alluded earlier that Twitter was like, we knew this was coming, blah blah blah.
About Jon Jones.
About Jon Jones. Yeah, we knew this was coming, blah 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 blah. And then you're seeing the other side that's like, thank God they suspended him. It's not enough. They should fire him. Get rid of him. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's throw the book at him. Let's make sure he never works again. You're seeing a lot of that specifically on Facebook and Twitter. And so the question I ask is, you want to throw the book at Jon Jones. You want to kick him out of the UFC. You want him never to fight again.
I don't think I've seen that sentiment much.
Oh, I can show you many.
I don't feel that's the overall sentiment, and I think you get that's a portion you're always going to get.
It is, but to those people, I want to ask this question, right? So you want to throw the book at Jon Jones. You want him never to work again. He's never returning to the UFC. Good riddance. And then Saturday night, you're going to plop down $100 for a guy who routinely beats women.
Yeah, I think routinely is excessive there.
So, I mean,
and there was certainly a terrible incident, the one where he went to the ex-girlfriend's house, he took the phone, Stephen A. Smith tried to cover that one up for him. I don't know, Stephen A., come on. I mean, we got to talk to Stephen A. a couple of years ago. I really would have loved the chance to talk to
right?
him this year
seeing
what's happened during this week of coverage. There's been some terrible incidents
you
with Floyd Money Mayweather.
I mean, it's more than two.
Well,
right?
Yeah. And one of those is the really terrible one where you see, you know, that she was out on a stretcher, and that's the one. Strangely enough, Stephen A. Smith tried to stick up for him in what seems to be the worst case out of all those that you can line up for Floyd Mayweather.
And I don't want to turn this into an argument.
I hate you, Stephen.
You could turn it into that argument. I don't want to turn it into a conversation.
No, he seems nice enough. He's just really weird this week with the way he's gone to bat.
You know, I don't want to turn it into a conversation about, you know, what should these guys be able to fight. I just think the difference is what fascinates me. Like, why the hatred for Jon Jones and not the hatred for this thing that is clearly way worse?
There's two things that are happening right here. There's two things. The number one thing, I think, is everybody's now waiting for this fight because we have been yearning and aching for somebody to beat Mayweather. I don't know about you, but every time I've bought a pay-per-view, I'm waiting to see somebody beat him. And, you know, I'm a fan of the dude as far as a boxer goes.
Sure.
But I paid for the De La Hoya fight. Oh, yeah, De La Hoya's going to get him. De La Hoya knows what he's doing. I paid for that Irish guy that I forget his name. They sold me a bill of goods. Those are your wolf tickets, Diaz. Those are your wolf tickets. That Irish guy, they tricked me into thinking was going to beat him. Then we had the Mosley fight. Mosley clocked him. Caught him good, didn't beat him. Then we had, the young guy, the 20-year-old. We saw him, last year when he fought. We saw him down the block when he was doing his road tour.
Oh, yes.
The redheaded Mexican guy.
Yeah. Alvarez.
Yes. Alvarez.
Yeah, Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, he'll get him. He's young. He's going to go beat him. Nope. But every time I pay for these fights, and I paid for all of those except for the Canelo Alvarez fight. I went to the bar and watched that one. All those fights, I paid for them. And essentially, if I want to look at it, I was paying to see if somebody would beat Floyd Money Mayweather.
Well, that, I mean, that's...
And I think that's what you have, number
that's
one...
That's the model, right? Like, yeah, that's what this is.
But he's... Well, I mean, but if you really look at this, and it's a terrible way to do it sometimes, and some people think it's distasteful, but if you really look at it, he's the ultimate bad guy at this point. So you're going to pay to see the guy that we all thought would beat him a couple years ago, and that he was ducking and that he was avoiding. Manny Pacquiao was running those fight me. He's going to fight me. He's going to fight me.
Right, the Foot Locker commercials. Yeah,
Foot Locker. Yeah. And this is the guy that he's been ducking, so we believe that he can beat him. So it's $100. We'll pay $100 to see if he gets beat. That's the first one. That's the first point to where you kind of see this difference. The second one is, as bad as it's gone and all the things he's done, Floyd's been through the legal system. He's gotten his punishment as far as any court is concerned. Now, there was that ridiculousness where they let him fight once.
Sure.
And they let him put off some jail time.
Right.
There's the ridiculousness with the NAC, which I think their asshatteries on display now that people are kind of looking closer at this stuff. But I think in the moment, you're looking at John Jones and going, man, he's never really had to deal with these consequences. He's never gone through the system. And, you know, he's still trying to avoid the cops and run away. So you have a very heated flashpoint there where he hasn't gone to court. He hasn't done any time. He hasn't been punished. A lot of the people right now saying, oh, he's gone forever. I never want to see him again. Blah, 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 blah. Guy goes to jail for a year. Guy gets punished by the courts. You know, that's going to soften everything, and that softened things as far as Floyd Money Mayweather is concerned. We all know what's going on. I think this week, obviously, with the biggest fight in the world, we've seen a lot more coverage of those events than we ever have in the past. Like, I've seen things about those events that I knew about that I didn't know until this past week. So I think he's definitely taking a lot of heat there, but I think those are your two differences. One, he's the ultimate bad guy at this point, and we're hoping Manny beats him up. Two, he's gone through the legal system. However crazy that was, or however unjust it is, according to your opinion, he's done that. John Jones hasn't. Not that we're not going to pay one day to maybe see somebody beat up John Jones. Like, there's the guy that ran over the pregnant lady.
Not Rampage.
The other guy.
Yes, we've already seen that fight. So, but it is happening this weekend. We have, as Ken alluded to, we've waited a long, 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 long time. $100 pay-per-view.
You said you're not even up for this fight. Like, even the hope that Manny can beat him.
I just...
Manny's so fast.
But, okay, so two things. One, you've known me a long, long time. Longer than Julian has known me. But one of the things you know about me is I am a sucker for killer marketing. And the stuff that they've got on Showtime and HBO, if that can't hook you, nothing can. Like, they're putting on some really compelling pre-fight.
And you're saying you're not hooked.
I'm like on the fence.
Like you won't watch the whole thing because you're afraid, you know you're going to be hooked in?
Right, like I leave in the middle of the, because I don't want to get tricked into doing it.
You just hear him back out of his driveway. Oh, must be another Mayweather special on.
So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like you. I've been to a number of these to be on Radio Row. I've paid for the rest of them. Ultimate bad guy, right? We finally got this fight that the world wants to see, and I'm looking at this thing going, I don't see.
Yeah, Manny's not going to win. Manny's not going to win at all. Nope. I'm not going to be tricked again. But he might.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know. $100. I don't think he's got it. I think Mayweather's just Mayweather, and then he's going to take this fight, and that's going to be the end of it. And whatever. Manny Pacquiao gets $100 million if a safe drops on his head in the middle of the ring. And Mayweather gets $180 million, and they walk away, and that's what it looks like. It's not that I can't get up for this. I just, for me, it doesn't have the same weight it did a couple years ago. So for me, makes it less special. I understand the specialness. It's not as special.
We were sitting in Las Vegas.
We were.
And Roger Mayweather was sitting right about where Julian is. And he said something that probably sold me on more fights than any HBO special will ever do, than any Showtime special will ever do, than any SportsCenter Super Stephen A. blank special will ever do.
Okay.
He sat there, and I asked him, I believe it was the Cotto fight. I believe it was the Cruz fight.
And if I was more well-prepared for the story, I would have pulled the audio. But.
Yeah, yeah. And he sat there, and I asked him probably a question that was much too long, and he was having none of it. And at the end of the question, all he did was look at me, look through me with his steel eyes, said, "A fight is a fight. Anybody can win a fight." All right, I'll buy it. I'll buy it, Roger. Thank you. And thank you that day for not hitting me, because Eric didn't. There's a great picture. Please put that on our Facebook.
I will.
Of Eric pretending all of a sudden he had to, like, write a grocery list.
He's just down in his key. Down here. He's down here like, oh, so, God. So Roger's going
to
hit him.
If you've ever done any of this or been to any of these media events, right, where fighters have to sit and answer the same questions over and over again, they try as they might. There was a, you know, we're going to talk about UFC 186 in a second. There was a great, great scene in Embedded where Michael Bisping is in bed as pissed as a hornet that he's got to do these stupid media interviews, right? Like, that's where they get to. So when these guys sit down and they do an interview, they try their best, especially face-to-face, to kind of be up for it. Like, here's a new guy. He's going to ask me the same questions about this fight and that fight. He's going to ask me about Manny Pacquiao, right? Like, all those things. And Ken, who, you know, is
You got to get something out of him.
He's very good at getting something out of somebody. Just takes it down this dark alley where those two are going to walk by themselves. And I'm totally like, oh, I wonder, is there any quinoa recipes on the internet I could get right now?
This, I just pulled it up on my screen. That's the moment I asked the question, and Roger Mayweather is staring daggers through me, and Eric's super interested in that pen. Look at that. Look at him looking at that pen in the picture. Like, oh, where'd I get this? Is this from the casino? This is very nice of them to treat us to this pen.
What sort of American novel could I write with this pen?
So, yeah.
Oh, Roger's still here. That's terrific.
I'll share this picture on our Facebook page, and then people can reference it during the podcast.
So you think I'm ridiculous? Even he's lost twice.
God, he's so done with me in this picture.
He's lost twice, knocked out once. You still think a fight is a fight?
Man, that comeback fight was pretty good. I know it's not the best competition in the world, but I mean, really, with these two guys, those are the only two left. He avenged the Bradley loss. He came back in the other fight. I mean, he looks good. He's that guy, and maybe I'm just falling for it. He's that guy that can cause trouble. He's Mosley-esque, and remember what Mosley did to him. He was able to land some shots. If not for the bell in that, I believe it was the fifth round?
It was early, for sure.
That fight, I mean, Floyd was knocked a little sideways, but you've seen Floyd come back from that fight. He said, I'm done doing that. I think he got a little bit too into that. He got a little bit too into the press saying he was a boring fighter, and he tried to do some stuff in that fight that got away from him. He still won the fight, obviously, but he got caught a couple times, and he told us all after that fight, I'm not doing that again, and he really didn't do it again.
Well, that's one of the knocks, and I am not knocking him, but that's certainly one of the knocks that people who hate on Mayweather say is that much like, and we'll make the comparison to Mighty Mouse, right? Like, much like he's not super exciting, he doesn't finish a lot of fights, he's not knocking people out left and right, and so as great as he is, I mean, he's not really getting in there and jamming with people, and you know what people don't understand is that that's not the fight game. The idea of the fight game is not to get punched in the head. That's not at all what boxing is about. Nobody gets into boxing and goes, you know what I want, Ken? By the end of my career, I want to have stood in the middle of the ring and been punched in the head a whole bunch of times and not ducked out of the way. That's going to be the mark of how good of a fighter I was.
No, and I think that Mosley fight showed that that's what could happen, and he just goes, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that at this point. But, I mean, Pacquiao's not younger than Mosley was in that fight, but Floyd is older than he was in that fight.
For sure.
So, you know, even in age.
Like, I don't want you to misunderstand that I don't understand the historical implications of this fight, but I would say two things. One, I just think that Mayweather is just a different type of human being. And yes, a fight is a fight, but I just don't know that as excited as the world is to see this fight, that Pacquiao, or anybody for that matter, because I mean, if this fight's over, he says that, you know, that's going to be the end and he's going to...
Oh yeah, I think Freddie has said that too, essentially, as much as Freddie can say it.
Yeah.
Freddie Roach.
I think 100 mil and 180 mil per person, if this even goes to a decision, you're seeing another one.
No, I disagree. I think that amount of money makes it very clear that there probably won't be a rematch. The most likely rematch would be if Floyd were to lose for some reason. I think that's your most likely rematch. I think Manny's fine.
Well, that has to be in the contract, right? Isn't that
Well, they
standard?
Both said they're not going to do this fight again. And again, that could just be trying to sell this fight. But I think the dollar amounts here, I mean, it's almost half a billion dollars involved.
No,
that's not going directly to both those
dudes. I mean, look, I agree with you. You're not going to get $1,500 for the nosebleed seats at the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't wrap my head around whatever they actually say. you know, there's been a lot of talking leading up to this fight where talking stalls out. It, you know, the fight doesn't happen. It's on against, on against. So I guess what I'm saying is this much money, $500 million, you don't think they're going to give it another shot if there's a reason to do that?
Well, I think the reasoning to do that would be the two fighters. I mean, that's basically what it came down to. If you want to believe the story, the happenstance was Manny Pacquiao missed his flight, ended up in Vegas, or not Vegas, Miami.
For the
at,
Heat game.
At the Heat game. And Floyd was already there at the Heat game. They happened to meet. You know, you saw a little jawing back and forth. You saw a handshake at the game. Floyd calls up Manny, and they met at 1 in the morning. And essentially, I believe Bob Arum was there as well. And the two fighters wanted the fight to happen at that point. But that was after years and years and years of the fight not happening, mostly on Mayweather's end, but also because Mayweather signed with Showtime, and you still had Pacquiao with HBO. That's a lot of parties you got to get on the same page. They didn't start selling tickets to this thing until 2 weeks ago because they were working the details out. You think that could all happen again?
They've already done it once. You have the blueprint. All of the hard work is
over. You have the blueprint until next time, whatever happens in this fight, and going, we gave you concessions last time, which essentially would be Pacquiao's side of it. Or I got beat. You need to give me concessions to get back in there. You think that's not a whole new mess that starts up after Saturday?
History is our guide, right? And there is no case study in fighting arts, wrestling, MMA, boxing, where you have this much money at stake and there isn't somebody trying to figure out how they could do it again. Let me ask you another really unfair boxing question that's getting asked a lot this week. When this fight is over, what's the next fight like it in the boxing world?
I don't know, because I tried to watch the Klitschko fight. It was terrible. Did you happen to watch it?
I didn't catch it yet.
It was on HBO, and I've gotten HBO because I got Game of Thrones back on. And, you know, that's what I do. I'm like, oh, good. I'm going to watch. Let's see the heavyweights fight, the big boys. Let's see what happens. Did you watch that?
No.
Did you watch that?
No.
It was terrible. He kept grabbing him. He kept grabbing. Klitschko's whole game was clinching. And, you know, I honestly forget his opponent off to the top of my head. He would land shots here and there. He's an American fighter. The crowd would get going, and Klitschko would just armbar him, essentially, that standing armbar. It was terrible. I was mad that I was paying for HBO for something else just watching that fight. I didn't even pay for that. I paid for other things, and I was mad that some of my money was going to validate the fact that this was on pay television.
So this is my point, right? I've never, ever seen this much excitement for anything that we're into, I think, ever, right?
Never.
So it's hard for me to turn off my brain and think to myself, oh, they'll never do that. They'll really never do this again, right? They'll never make another Star Wars movie. 7 Star Wars movies later, right? Like, I just don't...
I mean, the De La Hoya fight was the only thing I would have agreed with you, and they never made that rematch. And I think that's the only other level fight we've got for Mayweather at this point. I think if Mayweather beats the guy, he's not going to want to have to try to beat him again. And I know that De La Hoya was older at that point, but I think if you're talking about that bigger than life reference point, remember the De La Hoya Mayweather fight, that was the first fight where Mayweather really broke out. That was the fight where everybody wanted to see what happened, because that was Mayweather's big jump up in opponent. He was a champ in a lot of other divisions. I think that was where, though, he finally jumped up and won that WBC light middleweight title, which has kind of been his run now, and he's made it jump up to welterweight. I think he's fought for the light middle again. Boxing titles always confuse me a lot.
Sure.
But basically, I mean, I just remember that as his star-making turn, as you'd say it, and they never did that one again. So I don't think they do this one again. I guess we'll all find out after Saturday.
Who are you picking?
Fight's a fight.
Yeah, I know, Roger. Who are you picking?
There's no way Pacquiao wins. No way. So maybe. now that I'm not picking his opponent. But I don't think Pacquiao wins. I think Floyd's too defensive here. Too Mighty Mouse-esque in his fighting.
I'm going with Floyd also. 12 rounds. He just, you know, he just moves too much. He's, you know, he uses the ring, the entire ring. He's in, he's out, he's running. He's not going to stay in there long enough for Pacquiao to knock him out. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to see Pacquiao knock him out.
And I think...
And he knows that's what's happening.
Right.
You know, and I think there's an opportunity to see Pac-Man get knocked out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that could happen. That would... it could happen, but Floyd, I don't think Floyd's going to create that opportunity. He's not going to want to do that.
No, unless he hurts his hands. There's, I think. There's
but I guess there, you know, there's opportunities for all of that stuff. In so much as, let's say, you know, boxing different than MMA, right? You only have one way to win,
mm-hmm.
right? So if Manny gets behind on the scorecard in the first three rounds and has to chase Mayweather, he's going to open opportunities that might allow Mayweather to Victor Ortiz him, not with hugging and kissing, but in an actual, right. you know, chaos.
God, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, right.
That was weird too.
All right, so that is this weekend. We will obviously keep you up to date on all of that stuff. And as I've said on the marketing podcast, and I will say it here, I anticipate a fair amount of piracy happening on Meerkat and Periscope. BT Dub. So look for that stuff to be.
Wait, you saying you're doing it?
No, oh. I'm just saying it will happen.
Bold move.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to pirate it. Isn't that exciting? so UFC 186.
You want to be clear that's a joke?
That's
before,
totally a joke. I'm not
a federal agent.
It. My handle is at Polymath and Vine, so you can check it out. There will be no piracy on my thing. So UFC 186 was this past weekend. Seven people attended in real life, and six of them left before the main event was over.
Yeah, this was bad. And you know what? He pulled off what could be the most boring finish in history. Who else would pull off a finish with 1 second left?
Well,
as if we're all going, he needs a finish, he needs a finish, he needs a finish.
See, what about that?
Well, and what I thought was really interesting, and I don't even remember her name, and I apologize. Well, I apologize because there was a lot going on Twitter, but I think the best tweet I saw was something along the lines that said, magnificent performance by Mighty Mouse with him completely dominating Horiguchi and then finishing with 1 second left, leaving me with the question, couldn't he have done that three rounds ago?
Yeah, that's what I just called Mayweather Mighty Mouse-esque, and problem with Mighty Mouse is nobody cares about him. Everybody cares about Mayweather, at least at this point, mm-hmm. and nobody's been able to beat him. Mighty Mouse has a problem. He's got a problem. You saw it in the attendance. You see it in the fact that he's getting upset now. I don't know what else he can do at this point. I don't think he's ever on a pay-per-view card by himself again. I think you got to keep putting him on Fox. Good that you finished, but man, who saw it? I mean, literally people in the arena were leaving. I mean, I guess if you watched it on pay-per-view, we still don't have those numbers from Meltzer, do we?
I have not seen the number. I was looking for him before he started, but I you know, to your response, not only does he have a problem, but I don't think, and Joe and I talked this week before he headed off to Lansing to that secret job that he does, that
hating the government,
that you cannot, as the president of the organization, come out and tell your fans to F off if they didn't want to watch it. Guess what? They're consuming that product. This isn't a free Fox card. This isn't a Fox Sports 1 card. This isn't a tough finale. You asked me for $60 and I didn't think it was worth it. That is my choice.
Well, you know what's funny too is we talked a little bit last week about him talking like he was trying to build the fight up. It's like he didn't know how to do it, so he just told the fans to F off. Like, hey, what? No, man, you got to build your other dude up and then be mad at him.
No, dude.
No, we don't like you, and we're not. You're right. We're not going to pay for you. Well done.
Let me send you the Conor McGregor documentary.
Jeez.
Like, do what he's doing.
Like, man, you're trying, but it's not working. And, I don't know what to tell the dude. He's the best fighter in the world at his weight class. Nobody cares about that weight class. That's what it is at this point.
Yeah, but so...
Like, I'd pay to see him fight Ronda Rousey before I'd pay to see him fight another dude at this point.
So what I'm saying, though, is that's like vintage marketing problem. Your problem isn't yelling at customers until they accept your BS. Your problem is creating something that people want to consume because the undercard, while not overwhelming, I thought Rampage's boxing looked really quite good, all things considered. Maldonado, I don't know that he has a steel chin, but he certainly can take a fair amount of damage. Bisping beating C.B. Dalloway, Medeski beating Shane Campbell at a catch weight, really not as interesting, but Medeski getting a great KO win is a great thing. Almeida staying undefeated. Nobody cares about his fight against Yves Jabon. So you've got all of this stuff working against you, and you need to, you as the brand, not to get into a marketing podcast, but you as a brand, you have to make it compelling for me to give you $70. I don't have to build the story for you.
So screw you if you don't like me isn't the best
way to.
You know what's funny?
It.
Actually, that wouldn't be a bad way, but that wasn't what it was. It was screw me if you don't like how I fight. No, dude, you fight. I don't like how you fight. You're right.
Like, Dana's, comparison was, well, this is like going to pay for a baseball game and leaving in the seventh inning and your team wins. Have you met a Cubs fan? That happens every single game at Wrigley Field. Every single game. And it's their right because they bought that seat. If they don't want to stay at the Bell Center because this fight sucks, this fight sucks. That's the fight game. That's Roger Mayweather's a fight is a fight. A fight is a fight. You either make it exciting or you don't. And if you have the ability to beat a dude in 1 second at the last second of the game, I don't believe that you couldn't have done that in the first round, and you should have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least at the end of one of the rounds. I mean, if you want to make that case, oh, he heard the blocks, so he went and gave it a go. You have four other chances in the fight. You heard the blocks.
Right, yeah.
Give it a go. That's all I got.
Yeah. I just think that that's a terrible model. And you and I have talked about this, and Julian and I have talked about this over beers, that they've just got this issue that it's so overwhelming with so much stuff. There's nothing this weekend only because there's Manny and Mayweather. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason there isn't something this weekend, because there's something next weekend. Right. And there's the Ultimate Fighters on Wednesday, which, you know, I'm watching, but I there's just so much to keep track of if you're even a casual fan that you don't afford yourself the opportunity to tell them to go pound sand because you pretend that there's no other option.
Well, you know, I think they just need to stick with the division. I don't know if they need to be as aggressively anti-fan as they seem to be, especially the fighter himself, but let's remember, I mean, until too long ago, Jose Aldo, boring fighter, maybe the best in the world, boring fighter. All of a sudden, he gets a foil like Conor McGregor, a guy that just starts raring through the division, a guy who's clearly got it. You know, I think for Jose Aldo, this is huge. I mean, not only is he now up at number one in those rankings because of John Jones and his issues, he's fighting the guy who's arguably maybe the most interesting dude in all of UFC at this point. And
hands down. I mean, you know, I told somebody this the other day that, you know, this is, think about Batman if there was never a Joker in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Would people be as into Batman as they are if there wasn't a Joker? Because my answer is going to be hands down no.
No, I think you're right. And that's why you keep plugging away. That's why you keep doing what you're doing. I mean, I'm going right now through these Jose Aldo fights. I'm trying to remember them. I know I've watched them. I know I've seen them. He's pretty damn impressive, but okay, decisions to say. Oh yeah, I do remember that one KO. He threw the knee. I mean,
yeah, everyone remembers the Cub Swanson double knee. Everybody remembers.
He's been in those fights, and you know he's just plugged along. Yeah, he's probably one of the best in the world. Never had a foil that made him that interesting to me until now. That could happen for Mighty Mouse. At this point, it's interesting because it really there's nothing left for them to do except for wait for that. And you know, Jose Aldo, unbeatable, right? But he's got somebody we're interested in seeing him fight.
For sure.
That's all we actually need. And, you know, it could come along anytime for Mighty Mouse.
So question for you that I asked Julian, and he was not on board, so I'm wondering what you're going to say. My thought was either Cejudo, so Henry Cejudo is his next opponent, mm-hmm. or do you build his brand by putting him and Henry in a tough season?
I don't mind a tough season. I think that would help build up the Cejudo brand as well. We talked about that a little bit, you know, the Olympics and all that stuff and undefeated. So I think that's your natural fight. I don't think that's a bad move. I just don't think that many people are that interested in the Ultimate Fighter anymore. It's not the star-making vehicle it was even 3-4 years ago.
And I don't claim it to be, but is it another...
Do you kill it, though, if you put Mighty Mouse on it? I mean,
maybe you do, because you certainly kill your pay-per-view. You kill your gate. You kill everything. I mean, right. Somebody... It was funny. Somebody on our... Facebook page was talking about how John Jones was, what did he say? He said it was the income killer for the UFC, and I corrected them and said, no, that's Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse is the income killer of the UFC.
Yeah, well, yeah. They should just make Mighty Mouse bring the tarps that he's going to cover the seats with to help cover their costs. Because, I mean, sure, put him on the Ultimate Fighter, but is that thing going to be on TV? Because you got to get ratings. And I don't know at this point.
But so with Fight Pass, though, you don't need to put it on TV. You know, you could put
it. But does it help? Then does it help?
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean,
maybe just put him in an Ultimate Fighter house and make him fight 16 other guys to keep his belt since he's so dominant. I don't know. And then put an interesting judge in there, like Rampage.
That
quit hopping around so much. Punch. That's what Rampage would do. and make him do that Mr. T haircut thing. Okay, here you go, Dana. Okay, Rampage with a Mr. T haircut. Legal issues are cool because that they create controversy. Like, will Rampage be back next week to coach, or will he have to fight in TNA wrestling? We don't know. So there's that drama. And then he's the only coach, by the way, on the show, and he's coaching just Mighty Mouse. And he's not letting Mighty Mouse hop around or do any of the things that he does. And what he actually does, too, is he helps the other fighters against him, even though he's supposed to be coaching Mighty Mouse.
Two things.
Do you like this show?
I love this show.
Oh, Mr. T haircut.
And I want to let everyone know who's listening to the podcast. We will not be back next week because Ken and I are going to Hollywood to pitch things.
Yeah, we're
going to
pitch this.
This is a great idea.
Rampage coaches everybody and nobody at the same time. And anytime, you know, and what's Mighty Mouse going to do? Because he's going to get pissed at Rampage. Rampage's going to get in that truck. Mighty Mouse can't get in that truck. It's too high off the ground. So Rampage just leaves until Mighty Mouse calms down. He brings a popsicle back for him. And then that's how we end the show every week. And they're sitting on a stoop.
With a popsicle.
On a stoop.
They're counting cars like they do in the end of Up. Like
maybe red, if you get a sponsorship.
One, yellow one.
You put a little Toyo tire sideways and they can sit on that and end the show every week.
All right, and on that note, because there's really no place else for us to go, I will let you know that if you were excited at UFC 187 to see Nurmagomedov and Donald Cerrone, Nurmagomedov hurt his knee again and is out of that fight.
Gee, thanks.
So I will end on a low
note.
You're
almost as depressing as Mighty Mouse fights.
I was just trying to tie it all back together. It was a comedy callback.
Damn.
Follow all of the stuff happening this weekend with Mayweather Pacquiao at Wow Show on Twitter and Facebook. Have a great week. We will talk to you next week.
Apparently, Mike Tyson called.
The show?
Yes. Mike Tyson calls Floyd Mayweather a very small, scared man. This is today.
It's fine.